Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Edmonton Oilers taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Just before we went to break, Pro-Am Sports Trivia again. The Vincent Desharnais private signing, which closes on April the 3rd. The question, which current Oiler was the 2017 OHL Wayne Gretzky 99 award winner for playoff MVP for Chris Knobloch in Erie? Ali knew that the correct answer was Warren Fogle. Keep texting us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you always wanted at Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or which is, of course, open Monday through Saturday. And you can also call us on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino excitement. Bet on it. We are on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally at Bob_Stauffer. Brendan Escott's going to join us at about 4:23. For this day in Oilers history, Brendan's available at 2 E's, Escott with 2 T's. We'll tell you that Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, and so much more, Edmonton owned and operated 50-plus years. You can check their menu out at royalpizza.ca. Stauffer recommendation, Mediterranean chicken at Royal Pizza. As we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, welcome back for Wow Factor Desserts. Be enchanted by the tastes of spring. Indulge with gluten-free Very Berry Cheesecake featuring all the sweetness of the season. Visit wowfactordesserts.com. We welcome back to the show. He was the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the number one overall pick in the 1983 NHL entry draft, and he also started Octagon's Player Agency. We welcome back to the show the one, the only, Brian Lawton. Hello, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Good. You got some response from your appearance last week on the show, didn't you?
Occasionally that happens to me in Edmonton, but it's always tough because when you do these shows, Bob, especially in a market like Edmonton, people know when you give real answers or fake answers. I don't give very many fake answers,
right?
As in never. If you ask me, I'll tell you what I think. It may not always be popular, but I feel like I really treat everyone pretty well,
yeah,
to be honest with you. So I never worry too much about it.
It's funny. I was a little bit exasperated with some of the vitriol out there on Evan Bouchard. I mean, to have an ESPN play-by-play guy, who is a really good host, by the way, to have an ESPN play-by-play guy break down the goal against Toronto at the end of a two-minute shift for Bouchard and question, compete, and that sort of, and it wasn't played great. He was also going up against Austin Matthews, one of the best players in the world, and they go, well, you know, and it's happened before. Look at McKinnon at the end of the game against Colorado. Yeah, in the final 5 seconds of overtime after he'd been out there, and the play's in the corner, and you're thinking you have support in front of the net in both situations. Evan will tell you he needs to play that differently in the future, and I got a little upset. I'm like, why is it that people can never understand high-end skilled puck-moving defensemen and that they give a team way more than they give up? You know what I'm saying? Like, in you and me, we must have talked about Evan because your friend Dave Tippett was coaching the team, and I thought that Evan Bouchard should have been playing ahead of Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones back in 2021. But you know how it is, right? Like, you know, and you know what? I'm looking at Bouchard and 72 points this year, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, he's had a pretty good game. Why do we have to accentuate the negative all the time? You know what I'm saying? He's had a pretty good year.
No, it's really funny. When you take these guys, whether it's Hughes and McCarr or Evan Bouchard or Roman Josi or Victor Hedman, because that's your top five defensemen in scoring, and each one of them has their own individual personality, but essentially you're asking these guys every night to absorb more risk in their play which opens them up to a couple of things. Number one, it opens them up to a lot more criticism. That's just the way it is. But it also opens up a lot of positive options, too, particularly when you have 72 points in 69 games like Evan Bouchard does. But if I told the listeners out there how many people, when I'm talking to general managers around the league, ask me, particularly at times when Evan Bouchard wasn't playing, do you think the Oilers would ever trade him? People would be blown away. It was a very, very common question because GMs around the league recognize the unique value that Evan has. And I do think now Edmonton fans are seeing the full force and effect of it, but you'll always have times when Evan makes a mistake that just doesn't look good. You have to remember it's just one mistake. All the players can be better every night. That's always a common theme. But he unjustly gets picked on, in my opinion.
So it's interesting, Brian. I was frustrated Saturday night by a couple things. Number one, all right, so they put the whistles away early in that game. McDavid hooked on his own entry, then slashed, then run into the boards from behind by the Maple Leafs' Joel Edmondson. And, you know, Connor gave a little bit of a love tap back of the stick because he realized the ref wasn't going to call anything. Probably should have been a 5-on-3. Wasn't for Edmonton. A team, by the way, with one of the bottom five penalty differential this season, which is amazing. Amazing when you factor in that the Edmonton Oilers lead the league in expected 5-on-5 goal for percentage, right? Like when you think of how much zone time, the Oilers have the most shots on goal in the league. They've got the most time sort of attacking the high danger districts in front of the net, and yet somehow they're bottom five in the league in terms of penalty differential. So that's part of the story. But the other part of the story was fine. If they don't call Edmondson, they don't call Edmondson. What frustrated me is there wasn't enough physical pushback against the Leafs. It was like Edmonton wasn't prepared for what Brad Treliving had done, which has changed the nature of how the Leafs play. Toronto is now a different team. They've added some physicality and some jack to their lineup. And for me, that was the more... The loss against Ottawa, you don't shoot a team 36-60 and you usually win that game. Your PK got touched up. But the game against the Leafs, Edmonton needed to hit back. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
I know exactly what you're saying. And you're also highlighting what Brad Treliving was trying to do, which was to make them, make the Toronto Maple Leafs a tougher team to play against. And everybody knows what the moves were. You bring in Ryan Reeves. You know, they already had Jake McCabe, who was supposed to kind of add some of that. You bring in Edmondson. You sign Tyler Bertuzzi. They're trying to get more sandpaper in their game, and it is a reason why a lot of people believe Toronto hasn't moved forward further in the playoffs for a very, very long time. To be honest with you, I think that it's been a really valiant effort by Brad, but ultimately you're still tinkering around the edges, because if you really want to improve your team toughness, you've got to try to get to the players that are on the ice the most. And that has not changed. But I still don't think that's the reason why they haven't moved forward as far as they would like. I still think the answer lies in their decor. And I won't even touch the goaltending. It's just been, you know, their forwards are terrific. They're somewhat similar to Edmonton, and they've got really high-end guys, exciting to watch, capable of putting up big numbers. But their pushback from their top guys has not been where it needs to be. So the GM's trying to do everything he can to improve it, but he's doing it from the bottom up instead of from the top down. It's just the way it is. I think Brad Treliving's doing an excellent job, don't get me wrong, but that is my analysis of what's gone on there. And the decor, although they've tried a lot of things, and I'm in favor of a guy like Joel Edmondson, who actually doesn't have great analytics, but I am in favor of him because it's hard to measure what guys have done in the past and what you believe they can give you in the playoffs. And, you know, as we come down the stretch now, you're starting to see a lot of the teams that are going to the playoffs playing much better, much harder. The Leafs did come out and surprise Edmonton in that game. I really felt like they did. They came out and played really hard, kind of attacked Connor and Leon more than they've seen routinely in the regular season. And it was a little bit of a jolt for Edmonton.
Brian Lawton for Wow Factor Desserts. Be enchanted by the taste of springs. Indulge with the gluten-free Berry Berry Cheesecake featuring all the sweetness of the season. Visit wildfactordesserts.com. Yeah, you know, when I think of Edmonton, you know, adjusting against Calgary in that playoff series. Flames won game one at Edmonton 9-6, or game one in Calgary 9-6. They were up 6-1 in that game, and the Oilers tied it. Then the Flames got a couple, and then the empty netter. Matthew Tkachuk, he was not heard of as that series wore on. And part of it for me was Evander Kane. But I think it's fair to say we've not seen the same Evander Kane over the last year and a bit. And you have to wonder whether or not the severed wrist tendons has played a bit of a factor in his game. I will say this. I think Evander Kane's more tailor-made to play in the playoffs than the regular season. What about you, Brian?
100%. You know, Evander at times, you'd like more from him in the regular season. All you can do right now is count on him in the playoffs, though, because he's a difference maker for the Oilers when they get there. In the regular season, toughness is somewhat muted, in my opinion, from where it used to be. But in the playoffs, it's just a completely different ball game. And that's where Evander Kane is going to have to shine for this team. And quite frankly, I'm sure that's why Ken Holland wanted to keep him, because he recognizes how valuable a player he can be. He is capable of contributing so much more than he has, in my opinion, in the regular season. And I feel like it's tough to always count on Evander to give you what you would expect from him in the regular season, but I feel like he recognizes the difference between the regular season and the playoffs, and he'll be there for this club in a huge way.
Let me pose the question to you differently, involving these two guys. Kane hasn't scored in 15, Nugent Hopkins in 13. Is that a bad thing or a good thing for the Oilers? And I'm serious about this, because they haven't been that bad without those guys scoring. At some point here, they're going to start scoring, aren't they?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, they both have proven that they can score, and Ryan's not having as big a year he had last year, but that was probably more of an anomaly than the standard you would expect from Ryan. Ryan's just a good player. The fluctuation in the consistency is concerning, not as new in relation to the history of Evander Kane, but, you know, you always want these guys to be as consistent as they can. They're going to score. They're kind of... they're not just robots, but you can count on them to hit certain levels, in my opinion. And Ryan will still get there this year, and so will Evander Kane. But you'd love to see that flattened out a little bit more. Ultimately, though, this team, the Edmonton Oilers, is good enough to win, you know, getting the level of contributions they've got from them, because, in my opinion, the team is much stronger than it's been in a very, very long time for the Edmonton Oilers from top to bottom.
Though, it is your belief that teams like Colorado and Winnipeg might have added a little bit more.
Yes, I think enough people reached out to me that I did say that. That is correct. And I do believe that. Colorado did. They were aggressive. I always compliment people that, you know, I think have done really good jobs. I felt like Vegas, they haven't necessarily got the full force and effect of what they did, but they had a strong trade deadline. The Winnipeg Jets, you know, they've done a magnificent job all year long, notwithstanding, you know, coming into this game having lost three in a row. But they're having a great year. They are. And they've made some really courageous moves. You know, moving Pierre-Luc Dubois was not an easy move for that team. No
great
one wants
trade.
To move that type of a player. But it's a great trade.
Yeah.
Great trade. So I compliment them. Edmonton has taken their shot. And the story is yet to be written. That's probably the part I'm remiss in stating. They may not have, the moves they made may not have been what I was thinking, but who cares what I was thinking? I'm just giving you my perspective of somebody that's been there as to what my analysis was. That is how a really good hockey operations department functions. You get different opinions. If everybody says the same thing, you're in trouble as a hockey operations department. You don't need groupthink. You need different opinions. It's up to the guy in charge to ultimately make those final calls.
Edmonton got a bit of a break today, Brian. I know you would have seen it. I put out about Noah Philp resuming his pro career. You need people that have different perspectives on things, and the Oilers stepped up and signed Noah Philp. And frankly, I bet you if you talk to people in management, they were probably surprised how good he was. He had 32 points in the final 42 games last year. He was over 60% in the faceoff as a right shot in the final 30 games of the season. He fought a couple times, and then he retired due to a personal matter. And now he resumes his career. This could be a guy, I mean, never say never, right? I mean, when a guy puts up the type of numbers that he had in his rookie season in the AHL and he's that size, and oh, by the way, what could the Edmonton Oilers use behind a team that's got McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Ryan McLeod signed as left shot options at center? A 6'3" right shot center, Brian.
Yeah, no doubt about it. First of all, it's great for Noah. All the things that have happened to him are not really public. It doesn't matter what they were. It's just people go through tough things, and, clubs are different than they used to be. There's much more understanding. There's much more care for the players, and that's a good thing for all the teams in the NHL. So good for Noah for getting back on track. It never felt right, when he was going to shut it down. I hate to see people not – it doesn't matter if you go on and play in the NHL. It matters that you gave it your all in order of living the rest of your life. And I hope that Noah is prepared to do that because, when you hang around with as many stars as the Edmonton Oilers have, you can wake up one day and find yourself being one of them also. And that may sound a little fanciful, but you have to believe in yourself and dream big. So super excited for him, excited for the organization. There's a lot of potential there. Does that mean it's going to work out? No, but he's back in the game, and that's great news.
Great stuff, Brian. Great perspective. We'll hook up next week, okay?
My pleasure, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That is Brian Lawton for WOW Factor Desserts. It is currently 4:23 in Edmonton. We're going to go to List Day in Oilers History, brought to you by New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Reach out to New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
2003, the Oilers clinched a playoff spot on this day for the 19th time, beating Phoenix 4-3 on home ice at Rexall. Mike York scored the winner on the power play midway through the third period of that one, but they would ultimately bow out to Dave Tippett's Dallas Stars in Game 6 of Round 1.
Can tell you exactly where I was watching that game. I was in Fredericton with Dean Millard doing color with the 03 University Cup, the Alberta Golden Bears. They went into that tournament ranked number one in the country and got upset in the opening game and then pounded whoever they played next. Bottom line was we stayed up because that game would have started. It was a late start, too. It was like an 8 o'clock Edmonton start. So it was like 11 o'clock out in New Brunswick. To be honest with you, Dean and me were only really getting started at that point that night. But, it was a somewhat disappointing end to the season for the Golden Bears that year. Not as disappointing as the next year in 03-04. The last game that Chris Knobloch, the Oilers head coach, played, Alberta went into that tournament 39-0-2. They beat Ottawa in the opening game 7-3. And then UNB at home with 3,000 fans upset the Bears 6-5 in overtime. And I would say in the 13 years that they did the Golden Bears, they won 6 national championships. That was the best team that did not win. And that was maybe the best game I saw. 6 lead changes in that hockey game. It was just an awesome game. And then the Bears won the next 2 years at home in Edmonton. But I remember that watching the winter game that night and watching Edmonton clinch a playoff spot. And they took Dallas to six that year as well. Here's what we got coming up. It's 425 at Edmonton. Tomorrow is a split show. Myself and Brendan Escott will be hosting. Special shout out for all the Oilers Now road trippers that are going to Dallas. Tomorrow is our launch party. We'll see you down at 1905. Rob Brown from the Oilers Radio Network from Ontario Homes, developing customized homes perfectly built for your lifestyle. Visit Ontario.ca. Elliot Friedman for Abe's Door Service. And John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling on tomorrow's edition of Oilers Now. James Dunn has a global news weather traffic update. Reed Wilkins up next on the City Ford Faceoff Show, and I will join you at 5:05 on the Faceoff Show with Reed. So long, till then.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.